This week on Daddy on Board 73, a new definition of autism on the way, perhaps. Are kids wearing sunscreen? What juice has worms in it? And how do you have a baby in the year of the dragon? Well, the answer is probably intercourse. All that and more coming up next. Promotional consideration paid for by the following. What's the universal tablet holder that I use on my very own iPad? Well, it's none other than the Handy Holder. It's simple, comfortable, 360 rotation that works with any tablet device out there. It's absolutely indispensable, and you'll find out why when you read up on this and all the great products over at handyholder.com. This week's Daddy on Board is brought to you in part by Gazelle.com. Sell your electronics to Gazelle for cash. It's a simple three-step process. You get an offer, you ship it for free, and you get paid fast. Find out how to turn your used consumer electronic goods into cold, hard cash when you visit gazelle.com. Also, thanks to our friends over at Cobra.com, industry leaders and makers of the revolutionary radar, red light, and laser detection system known as the Cobra Eye Radar System. They're also the makers of the Cobra Tag System. They are out in the forefront of radar detection, GPS, CB, and all manner of electronic goods. Find out more when you visit them online. They're at Cobra.com. This week's program is also thanks to PowerMat.com. It seems like electronics have revolutionized everything except electricity. We'll never be caught powerless again. PowerMat, your wireless charging solution for all your mobile devices. Find out more about their entire line of great products when you visit PowerMat.com. Hello, parents, new, expectant, and possibly old. I'm Mike Quackenbush, podcaster, professional wrestler, and yes, even parent. Welcome to Daddy on Board. You may be asking yourself, where's that lovable Cliff Manicotti? Well, I'll tell you, as you may know, Cliff right now is in his 11th month of pregnancy, and due to the advice of his Lamaze instructor, he's been recommended for the safety of his triplets not yet born to take some time off, and so Cliff will be on temporary hiatus until our agents and lawyers get this matter hashed out. Until then, you're stuck with me. So thanks for being here. Daddy on Board, as you know, the number one rated parenting podcast in Laos and Bangladesh, is back with all the news that you're going to need, at least for this week, and a whole bunch more. So without further ado, let's talk about what is perhaps most pressing this week, and this story has been all over the parenting blogs and everywhere else. In particular, I caught an article that was over on thedailybeast.com. That really is a website, by the way. I didn't make that up. There's a new definition of autism that may be published soon that could exclude many of the people now diagnosed as being autistic. And part of this fervor is really the resultant of comments made of all places in Iceland. I didn't know that people were paying attention to what happened in Iceland unless it pertained to Bjork. Someone named Fred Volkmar over there, who's the director of a Yale Child's of the Yale Child Study Center. Gave some information, perhaps, I don't know, a little prematurely, as the entire research and the report that he's talking about are actually currently under embargo. The information is not intended to be discussed about revisions to DSM-5. That's the fifth edition of Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. That's quite a mouthful. This, of course, is like a really important reference work as it pertains to the American Psychiatric Association. And it may alter this research that they've been doing, the way people, or I should say, the definition under which children are diagnosed as being autistic. It could drastically change it. And to give you a little insight into what Volkmar had to said during this conference in Iceland, which I think was attended only by penguins, he and his team at Yale examined case records of roughly 1,000 children who were diagnosed with autism in 1993, and then using some new diagnostic criteria that's being proposed, they applied that to the group of 1,000 to see how many of them were still considered autistic, given these new criteria. And only 372 of the 1,000 were. So that's less than 50%. In fact, I think I could give you a very exact percentage. Let me get my calculator. Yes, more than 50% of these children were no longer considered to be autistic given these potential new criteria. These have not been published. This has not been accepted by the APA. However, this is very, very important, of course. If you have a child who's diagnosed as autistic, or you know someone that falls into that category, for obvious reasons, because To lose a diagnosis could have real implications for your family if you're dependent on state-funded disability services. And that generally runs the gamut for children with autism all over the spectrum. So we will keep our eyes on that here on Daddy on Board. And I guess when I'm saying we, I really mean me. I'll keep an eye on it. But my other eye will be busy on other things. I can't promise you more than that. As it relates to this, hang on here. I want to quick call something up on my screen. I want to make sure that I'm getting this right, because this information is important. I'm going to pull this off of WebMD.com, by the way. If you need to go over there and check out, they actually have an Autism Spectrum Disorder Health Center that you can check out. It's filled with valuable information. And part of the reason this is top of mind is because here at Grizzly Productions, we have something in the pipeline that might be specifically aimed at those of you in our audience that deal with autism or are seeking more information about this, right? More than perhaps you get from a puzzle piece bumper sticker on the back of the car in front of you trying to raise your awareness by telling you nothing. Where is this information that I want to relay to you for the love of God? I can't find it. It had something to do with learning disabilities and the significant increase in all kinds of related learning disabilities as it pertains to children diagnosed with autism between 3 and 5 years of age. And I don't want to give you misinformation. I can't find what it is right now. So too bad. There you have it. Now, this is the part here where there's like a funny sound effect, or I play my kazoo, and then we go on to the next story. You may be interested to know this. It did not come from our friends over at CBSNews.com, although it is published over there. Actually, I think this is from WebMD also. A new study shows that only 25% of children wear sunscreen regularly when they're out in the sun. This does not pertain to a sample group, for example, if they're in their basement. Not relevant. Despite all the efforts from, everybody, medical experts, dermatologists, etc., researchers say that children from this study that they conducted as far back as 2004, they talked to children between 2004 and 2007, that the numbers have decreased, that at one time they had as many as 50% of children reporting that they used sunscreen regularly while exposed to the sun, and that number has dropped to about 25%. It has been cut in half during the period of time that the survey covers, of course, so it's important to remember there that this study was conducted between 2004 and 2007. However, our friends over at WebMD are quick to mention that this is an important time in youngsters' lives when they're developing attitudes about the way that they should conduct themselves in the sun, etc. And, of course, children, I think as they start to develop a sense of that, may imagine that they need to have a tan. And take it from a pale guy like myself. Rarely, if ever, do the sun's rays strike me, and that's because I remain in my basement for exceptional periods of time on end, usually making podcasts. That's what I do with myself. But of course, it's very, very important, and being exposed this early on, in their earliest years, puts them at greater risk for skin cancer later in life, and that's very serious, of course. So you must be a little forward-thinking about these kinds of things. That's what I'm saying to you. If you haven't put your sunscreen on before you take your kid out into the sun, I'm saying it to you now, right? That's what you listened for. So, before I move on, there's some other information that I'm going to relate to. On the flip side of this, for example, did you know that there's a risk to drinking alcohol during pregnancy? Have you ever heard that ever? I'm going to tell you more about that. Also, I teased this off the top, right? About having a baby in the year of the dragon. This is a real story. This is a real story. It was in the Wall Street Journal. That makes it real, I think. Unless someone hacked the site and planted it there. But first, I'm going to tell you a little bit about one of our show's sponsors, PowerMat. The fine folks over at PowerMat. You may have heard me speaking about them at the top of the program. And over at PowerMat, they really do think wireless should mean a world without wires. You take these you take every manner of, like, charging wire and adapter and everything else on the road with you everywhere that you go. And you know, if you don't, I'm about to tell you, there's a wireless charging solution out there for you. And you can probably find it right now over at PowerMat.com. That's, in fact, their specialty. That's what they're known for the world over. And I have a whole bunch of their gizmos, do I? The wireless charging solutions to be found over at PowerMat. Chief among these, by the way, is the fabulous, I don't mind mentioning this one in particular, the dual backup battery 1850. You can charge two devices on this thing at once. This, I think, is especially... I just whacked the microphone there if you're curious what that was. I think one of the great benefits of having a device like this, like the... And this is great, not just the dual 1850 backup battery, but all of PowerMat's ingenious inventions, is that when you travel internationally, you don't have to worry about taking different socket adapters along, right? If you're taking along your charger for your iPod or your smartphone or your Super Robot 2 or whatever it is that you're taking with you, you don't have to worry about having an adapter to go into the wall because, you know, the, I don't know if you know this, the sockets in Europe are funny shapes. That's true. You needn't worry about these things. You never need to worry about being caught powerless when you've got a wireless charging solution like PowerMat.com. Why don't you go over to their website and check them out? I would appreciate it if you'd go see PowerMat.com. We like it when you visit our sponsors. So do they. They really do appreciate that. I think they want it. Well, I'm glad we covered that. Hey, you know, a friend of the program here, in fact, she appears on the Daddy on Board sister podcast known as Mommy Beta. Have you ever heard of that? It's Mommy Beta. Do you want to know where you could find Mommy Beta? I'll tell you right now. Thanks for asking. GrizzlyProductions.tv is our catch-all website for all of this stuff. That's where you'll find Natalie Morris from Mommy Beta, who I'm about to speak more about momentarily. She's also my co-hostess on the trending show, which I recently took over. You can also catch the twice-weekly sports report with Paul Roberts, which is excellent. Flags are at half-mast. Adios, Joe Pa. Over on the sports report right now, and other awesome stuff like Chikara Podcast-A-Go-Go, and potentially in the extreme near future, something new from the gang at Chikara is rolling out as well. If you don't know, by the way, when I'm not here, and by that I mean in my basement, I'm off busy being Chikara. I do the Chikara, as they say. I make of the Chikara pie. And you can catch me and everybody Chikara way. In fact, depending when you're listening to this, you might still have time. January 28th, we're in Easton, PA. If you've been looking for a fresh, friendly, smart reinvention of the professional wrestling performance genre that you would not be embarrassed to take your kids or the whole family to, Chikara is what you've been waiting for. So come and give us your money. We would like that. January 28th, we're in Easton. Also coming up, you can catch us in Reading, PA, Long Island, New York. We're coming to the greater Toronto area in Canada. You'll also see us in Ottawa, Chicago, Lafayette, Indiana, and Manhattan, New York in this first half of the year. We'll be quite busy. But enough about that. There was an article written by one of Natalie's friends in Forbes, which apparently is a magazine. They've also got a website. It's Forbes.com. If you want to go over and check it out, this particular piece is about, it's entitled, if you want to look it up, by the way, Silicon Valley Entrepreneurs Aim to Disrupt the Food Industry. That's kind of a sensationalist headline. I just want to point that out if you're listening, Michael. But basically, this is the story of, well, more than one company, but one of them in particular. They spoke to Neil Grimmer, the CEO of Nest Collective, who, in the previous decade, went about organizing through, he got some VC funds, I guess, and started up his own food company. That's what Nest Collective is. And the idea here is that they're trying to, one, they're trying to put out healthier food for youngsters, which is important, right? If, like me, on occasion you find yourself in the grocery store aisle and you're seeing, like, these crazy things that are... And this is the thing that sprung to mind when I was reading this article. Just 2 or 3 days ago, I was in the, like, the section of the store, you know, where the baby food is. I like to stick my pinky finger in the pureed pears of the Gerber jars to test them. I like to test the viscosity. I leave it behind unpaid for, of course. But I was aghast to see this tiny jar that was called meat sticks. And there were just like these tiny little wiener things floating in juice. And I don't know what that is. I didn't even want to touch the jar. I couldn't imagine asking my son, who's 2.5 years old, to ingest it. I think he'd think that they were funny, slippery toys. I can't imagine that he would bother to eat those things. And I cannot imagine what they would taste like. Perhaps, like me, every once and again, you are so foolhardy as to eat some of the baby food that's around, right? Like, you're just, I wonder what this is going to be. It's kind of curious. And some of the dry, the like, freeze-dried ones you probably imagine you could get away with without doing a whole lot of damage to your innards. They are not especially tasty, I don't know if you've come to discover this. If you haven't, you can take my word. They are not especially tasty. And so groups like this, based on the strength of new, relatively new products anyway that they've rolled out, like the Beatbox Berry, Beatbox Berry, by the way, I'll explain it to you very quickly. It's like a beaten strawberry smoothie that comes in a resealable pouch. One of the other products that they put out is called Fiddlesticks, which is a gluten-free snack stick kind of thing. They've got these under their Plum Organics label. They've got a couple different brand labels, actually, to the people at Nest. And they're working to put stuff out that not only maybe helps broaden the palate a little bit beyond some of the bland offerings that are out there, but they're also trying to do it in a green and a responsible way. You can also find out more about related groups, whether it's Revolution Foods, etc. You can check all of this out in a very well-written article by Michael Canellos. All of this is contained for you over at Forbes.com. Check out that piece. It's Silicon Valley Entrepreneurs Aim to Disrupt the Food Industry. And of course, by the way, I mean, to give you a little context on what I think why it's phrased that way, obviously there's some really entrenched players here, like the Gerber, who I was poking fun at a moment ago. Even in the article, they mentioned trying to become competition for these. They discovered at one point they'd shipped an order to Nestle's R&D lab. So obviously, you know, this is a billion-dollar industry, a billion-dollar-every-year industry. And so it's going to be very difficult for some of these startups, relatively new, like I said, just from the last decade, to try and invade the market space of some of these established players, some of whom, you know, have been in place for generations. But they're trying to go about it with a fresh perspective. I think part of what has caused them to spearhead this movement, if you will, is the idea that some of what's out there has not remained current with what consumers' tastes are. The modern family, no allusion to the sitcom here, their tastes have modernized, while some of the products available out there have not. And I mean by that, meat sticks in a jar of goo. That's all I want to say about that. I don't even like thinking about the meat sticks. It gives me the willies. I'm going to pause here, and I'm going to have a drink of something, all right? Let's agree that that's going to happen. Ah, that's so good. And I'm just past the part where it's not so hot that it sears off all my taste buds. So, as I mentioned to you a few moments ago, would you be surprised to find that alcohol could negatively impact your unborn baby? This is not especially news. However, related to this, a new study has come out that perhaps our thoughts on this need to be a little bit stricter than we originally thought. Now, let me say this in my ignorance. I was just of the opinion that you shouldn't drink when you're pregnant. However, a recent study, and this also was on the Wall Street Journal, by the way, which is the name of a newspaper. They still make those, I think, because there are old people that like to have inky fingertips all day. Or they like the crosswords. I don't know. I really got off track there. This is a new study here that came out. I'll tell it to you straight here. Where is it here? A new study of nearly 1,000 women who drank at least once in their pregnancy yielded these interesting results. On average, most of the women in the study drank a very small fraction of a drink each day. Although some of them, if you can believe this, put down as many as 12 full drinks a day. That is considered above safe for the woman's health, let alone the unborn baby. I would like for that to be out there in clear and uncertain terms. It's difficult to draw a direct correlation here, so I'm going to explain the results of this to you, and then I'll try and give you a little bit of context without telling you lies. In the second half, for each drink consumed, over the daily average, which was like a sip, in the second half of the first trimester, women's babies were 12% more likely to have a small head circumference, 16% more likely to have low birth weight, and 20% more likely to have a very thin upper lip or lack a vertical indentation between their noses and lips. Now, you might hear that and think, I don't know that that's really the end of the world, right? Like small head circumference. Somebody has to have the smallest head in the room, right? If we all measured heads right now. I do it frequently when I have the in-laws here at Thanksgiving. We all measure our heads. Or 20% more likely to have a thin upper lip. There are worse things than this, right? However, while these are seemingly minor, those characteristics are typical of fetal alcohol syndrome, or FAS, and they typically presage cognitive and behavioral problems later in life. They are early stage indicators of those things to come later. So overall, the more that the women drank, the more likely their babies were to have these problems. According to this study, which was recently published in the journal Alcoholism, Clinical and Experimental Research. And the story, of course, I ripped off from the Wall Street Journal. I really hope they're not like the Daily Star. If my next story is about a bat boy, we know we're in trouble, and you can disregard pretty much everything in this podcast thus far. So, before I tell you in a moment here about our great show sponsor, Handy Holder, I do want to tell you about this. And this is a real thing. I don't know why I feel like I have to preface these stories, because sometimes they are a little difficult to believe. What is it that every aspiring dragon mother wants? Well, of course they want a dragon baby. It is difficult to give birth to dragons, in the sense of what you're probably imagining in your brain right now, like a horrific scene in a delivery room with fire breathing and a little winged creature. But what I'm referring to are babies born during the Chinese Year of the Dragon, which just started or is about to start. You know, you would think after all these years they could get their calendar to line up with ours. I don't know what it is about the Chinese. They seem really smart. You know, the three of them that I've met. And I think there's only four or five. It's not as if they have a majority population of the planet or anything like that. Get your calendar to line up, please. Please, Greg. In any event, this is a big thing. That Chinese couples, and other couples too, want to have their child born within the year of the dragon. Now, as you know from eating at Chinese restaurants and looking at the paper placemat that's in front of you and learning more about this, which is pretty much where most of my information comes from on this topic, that and small children. I get it from those two sources. It is considered far more desirable to have a child born in the year of the dragon versus, like, you know, the year of the monkey, the year of the boar, etc. And the reason for that is it's considered a lucky zodiac sign to the followers of the Chinese calendar, I guess. In that, they are typically considered to be favored. They enjoy greater success. And so several parenting couples out there are trying to, this is me making air quotes you can't see, accelerate their efforts to have a dragon, whether it's through fertility treatments or the use of a surrogate. And it apparently, it is. There's a huge spike in this right now because, as you can imagine, giving let's call it the gestation phase. You've really only got a couple months here to score big on the home pregnancy test, or your chance to land a dragon is going to evaporate. Oh, I found the date here as I was goofing around. By the way, February 9th is the cutoff. If you get it going too late. This is what I want you to take away from this piece. If you get it going too late, you get your bun in the oven too late, and you miss the cutoff, February 9th, next year, you're going to have a snake instead of a dragon. And that is a whole lot less favorable. Let's be fair. Nobody wants that. Yeah. I was stunned that was a real news story. I actually read that story twice this week. Second time I was reading it, I was like, this is a really familiar story. I feel like I know this information. I think I've seen that photo before. Before I tell you a little bit about some of the parenting blogs that are out there, I'm also going to wise you up about some products that I'm checking out. Some apps may be discussed later before we get to your little victories, all that and more. On the flip side of this, I want to tell you about HandyHolder.com. You might have heard me mention them off the top of the program. That's because I like them. I stuck the Handy Holder to the back of my iPad, and I'll never take it off because I love it. Before I had this thing, I thought, I don't know that I really need that, this universal tablet holder hand strap. But since I put it to my iPad, it's easy, it's safe, it keeps the iPad from being kicked out of my hands by little two-year-old feet when they're in Jackie Chan mode. It's very comfortable, and it gives you 360-degree rotation. You can spin the iPad around, or any tablet device. I just happen to use the iPad. Since the operating system on my Super Robot 2 went all funky, it's somehow got a virus, I don't know, and it's been cold in bed ever since. I use an iPad, but you can put this on any tablet. It's a universal tablet holder. Have I not been clear about that? There are lots of other things, too, not just the hand strap, if that's not for you. They've got a leg strap for frequent commuters, right, if you want to keep it on your lap while you're on the subway or what have you, you're flying somewhere. You don't want it slipping off, especially if, like me, you have a tendency to drift off to sleep And that happens when I have my tablet device and I'm tweeting while I'm driving late at night all the time. If only I could be kept more alert. That sounds like something we'll talk about in a little bit. Our friends over at HandyHolder.com have a great line of accessories, from clamps to tripods, and not just these straps that I talked about. And I have to say, one of the things that continues to astound me about this is the way it is just secured to the back of my tablet device. Because it really, to me, looked like it was like a little sticker that was going, and I thought, this is going to last about a week. And here I am well over a year later, and I've had to remove it, like when I put the case on or if I clean my iPad. I've had to remove the dual lock ring off the back of my tablet device to clean it or to change the case or what have you, and then put it back on, and I don't have anything. This must be the stickiest thing in the universe, that's what I'm telling you. Could we use this for other things, Handy Holder? Have you thought about licensing this out for other practices, like cat burglars who need to scale up skyscrapers waiting to be caught by Christopher Reeve in a Superman outfit? That's what I'm thinking about right now. Go and visit them. Have you not yet? Would you please go over and see HandyHolder.com? They will dislike my show. They will give this a thumbs down if you don't. I would very much like for you to go and visit HandyHolder.com. Check them out. They make a great gift, too, by the way, if you know somebody who has a tablet device, especially if you've got a little one in the house. You see the relevance here to the topicality of this podcast. We're number one in Bangladesh and Laos. Okay? You could be next, Pakistan. Will you get on board? That's all I have to say about Handy Holder. Now it is time. I don't know if we have a sound effect. Jim, do I need the kazoo? If there's no sound effect here, this is the blog section of the program. In that pregnant pause, I sipped my drink. This particular blog, that was a bit redundant, is from papaheroes.com, where we occasionally plagiarize our material from. This particular piece is by Raul Colon. I think you can infer from his name that he's Flemish. He wrote a piece called An Approach to Helping Children Sleep Better. I was over there, and he lists a number of great tips in this piece. Among them, and because this is something where, you know, as parents, chances are, depending where you're on like the NyQuil scale with your kid, sometimes getting your little one to sleep can be quite troublesome. So, codifying it for you and listing it right here, our boy Raul Colon, whose name I'd like to repeat more times, has come up with a little bit of a list, and I'm going to recount this for you now, some of the ideas that he has about helping your children to sleep better, right? So, first and foremost, of course, it can be very helpful when you can upfront identify signals that the child is not ready to go to sleep, right? This is definitely a case with my son Elliot, who has a tendency to get really wound up at certain times, and he's running around, and I think it somehow directly correlates to the amount of 1960s Adam West Batman he watched during the day, his hyperactivity. I think there's a direct correlation. There may be a study being rumored about in Iceland by the APA right now, linking that hyperactivity to Adam West Batman show. So first, of course, be on the lookout for that, because they could, obviously they might need your help in being calmed down. Also be aware of, you know, whether if they're going through teething or having any other kind of illness, you know, if you do need to be mindful of any medication that they need to be taking or infant pain relievers, things like that, that might help them wind down as they're getting ready to go to bed. And of course, this one to me is the one that's most important. Don't miss the window of opportunity. If you do start to see early signs, even if it's ahead of what the clock might be telling you, that your child is ready to go to sleep, like if they start to cuddle with their blanket or showing other indicators like that, jump on it. Jump on it. Don't miss the window of opportunity. And I'm going to tie that into a story we'll get to in a couple minutes, actually. Some other obvious things here that are worth noting, of course. You want to try and eliminate distractions or extra unnecessary noise. You may find, I happen to know, there's a person, and I'm not going to say his name, I know, had great success with a white noise device helping get his little one to sleep. However, you must keep in mind, when you're taking advice like this, right, generally speaking, I don't know your baby. I want you to know that. Those times that I was outside your window, I was not there about the baby. That was unrelated, okay? You must take any advice or input or feedback and relate it to the experience of your own child. And some children do react well to that, right? Like the soft sound of radio in the background or a white noise generator, things like that. However, there are others, for whom those types of distractions do not help them whatsoever. They actually keep them awake. You might discover that your child goes to bed much quicker in darkness. And then there are others, of course, that can't. They find that a little too frightening, and they need to have the light on. So you want to make sure that you've organized the conditions to be optimal so that your little one can get to sleep. You may have some bedtime rituals as well, all that. And there are some other tips here as well, including this one. This one's a very interesting one, Raul. I know you're listening, by the way. No caffeine. My instant reaction to that, of course, is that my son Elliot has his cappuccino before noon. So it's unlikely to affect him at bedtime. However, for breastfeeding mothers, you might also want to consider your caffeine intake. Because a boost of that eventually does get passed along to the baby, does it not? Through the magic of breastfeeding. There's a little science I wanted to lay on you there. A little biology. This story was over on Stroller Derby, and it is a little alarming. I've had one of these in the last year. Here it is. Daniel Sullivan reports over on Stroller Derby. Worms found in Capri Sun juice packs multiple times is the headline. And what I've had in the last year was a Capri Sun. I did not have a worm. However, there are some old neighbors we occasionally visit, and they have a refrigerator that's like Capri Sun laden. And you can't pass that up. I mean, they're in there for a reason, right? I mean, they wouldn't tell you that they were there if they didn't want you to drink the Capri Suns. And there's just something about that until I have that infuriating thing where I can't get the straw to go through the pouch. Prior to that moment, it's so seductive. I think that's like a little slice of my childhood waiting to be rediscovered once I have the Capri Sun. However, in light of the fact that people are finding worms in their Capri Sun pouches, I am now a tad bit dissuaded from engaging in this bit of juicy nostalgia because I don't want to suck a worm up the straw. I am against that. That is not part of my diet. And apparently, at least according to Daniel Sullivan, this happens so commonly and people are seeking out information of it that if you try to Google this, before you even get the whole word out, Google auto-populates the rest for you. It knows that you're looking for Capri Sun worms, right? That maybe it's an alternate flavor that they're doing some test marketing on under the radar. I don't know. However, I don't care for that. And so that's a public service announcement from me to you. If you are against the idea of a chance encounter with a worm coming up a straw directly into your mouth or the mouth of someone that you love, you may want to consider staving off the Capri Sun. There it is. Sad but true. And spare yourself. I mean, how is it after all these years you haven't figured out how to design that stinking straw right? It's like a half hour. I'm not a surgeon, okay? I'm glad I got that off my chest. I recently took a brief voyage back to my childhood when I brought into my house surreptitiously a box of toaster strudels. I don't know if you know what these are. They're a naughtier alternative to waffles. And I forgot how much I enjoyed the flaky crust and the icing that I can apply in any pattern that I choose. If you've not had these in a while, I want to caution you that when they come out of the toaster, the insides are far, far hotter than the exterior betrays, my friends. And you will lose taste in your mouth for several days. I want you to know that. That's the kind of cutting-edge reporting you can count on here on Daddy on Board, Loyal Duh Bobbers. This was also posted up on a blog, and this one is especially relevant to my experience as a parent. I will share it with you now. Julie Miner writes about the five-minute car nap. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm going to tell you. This is when you're on your way home, and maybe it's near nap time, and your little one dozes off and takes a little five-minute cat nap in the car. And yet somehow this ends up disrupting the entire day, because after the five-minute car nap, regular-timed nap is disrupted. Regular-time nap cannot be recovered, because it is rent asunder by the fury of the five-minute car nap. It will destroy your day. There's a great piece that Julie Miner wrote about this, about the five-minute car nap, and I could relate to this very, very well. It's over at Stroller Derby. That's blogs.babbel.com/strollerderby. Look for the five-minute car nap over there. Very, very true. And I think you hit the nail on the proverbial head, Julie Miner. There's a kind of a tie in there, very loose. It really boils down to failed transfer. Can you transfer the child without waking them from the car seat to wherever it is that they nap? That's what it boils down to. Check it out. A very good blog. We will always bring you the best in blogs, and by that I mean me. On the flip side of this, you know, I got some products in the mail I'm going to tell you about. And then this week, before we speak again, before we have this non-interactive dialogue of ours, if only there was a term that described that, I will return with information about some of these products. I'm going to tell you about some products. I'm going to tell you about some mobile apps. We'll read your little victories. All of that coming up on the flip side here. But first, I want to tell you about Gazelle.com. They are one of the longest-standing sponsors of us here at GrizzlyProductions.tv. I like them because I've used these guys a number of times. I had an old BlackBerry. I had silly other things here in my house that were just collecting dust because I'd moved on to more sophisticated devices or the ones that are too complicated for an idiot like me to use, and I needed to get rid of them. So what I did is I went to Gazelle.com. That's the website. And I told them what I had. I told them the brand, the series, the model, you know, all that kind of jazz. I told them the condition that it was in. They made me an offer of money, which I like. And then I sent it away. And guess what? Then they sent me the money. That's the best kind of transaction there is. It's a very streamlined, very simple, very easy-to-use process. And I like these guys, not just because they've made it easy for me, not just because they're very communicative, they'll tell you exactly what's going on, not just because they're likely to pay the postage to send it to you, they'll even send you a box in a lot of instances, but also because on those occasions where the good I sent to them is actually worth more money than what they thought, they pay me the difference. They could pocket that. They could be off laughing somewhere. They could be using my money to buy themselves toaster strudels and worm-infested Capri Suns, and they're not. They send the money to me, and I like the money. So thank you, Gazelle.com. Thanks for sponsoring this program. Thanks for sending me the money. Check them out. They say, this is a statistic. Here it is. You'll know because I'm presenting it in my statistic voice. That every American household has 413 used consumer electronics in someone's sock drawer right now. So you must know the sock drawer I'm talking about, right? It's the one filled with your gadgets. Well, go turn it into money. Go see Gazelle.com. We thank them for their sponsorship of this program and others in the Grizzly Productions Network, because our podcast wouldn't happen if we didn't have the sponsors. I like them. I like the sponsors. This mocha. Where was I? I've lost my train of thought. Right, I had some stuff. So I'm going to tell you about this stuff that I've got here, right? There are two things I'm going to tell you about. I'm going to tell you what they are now, and next week we'll chat about it. One of the things that came to me here is called Alternavites for Kids, and these are alternative methods of getting your kids to take the vitamins that they need. It's a multivitamin. It has some minerals in it, too. It's all that good stuff. It's a dietary supplement, in effect. I got two different varieties here. Now, one of them is like a bubblegum consistency, and one of them is more like cotton candy. I may eat one of these myself before I give it to my son, because I think it's important. That firsthand product testing is really important. There's enough to go around, though, so don't worry. I'm interested to see, since I am aware that it can at times be difficult to get children to take their vitamins, I'm curious to see what the response in my household is to this. I've got, I might try the strawberry one. I've also got a raspberry one here anyway. These are Alternavites, V-I-T-E-S, for kids, the multivitamin with some minerals in it. I will tell you more about my success and or failure with that next week. Now, I've also got, and I don't know, I've never seen these things before. I'm amazed that they didn't exist before, but here it is. I got something called sock-ons, O-N-S, sock-ons, two words. These things, I guess they're nylon is what they are. These are clever little things that keep baby socks on. You put the socks on your kid, right? If your kid is like my kid, and I know that your kid is because you remember I was looking through the window. The first thing my son wants to do is rip his socks off when he gets home. He loves to do it. And then just fling them anywhere. I think he's under the impression that once he's inside the house, there's never need for socks. And this is false. I want to come out against this. It's one thing when you're 2 years old and you're, you know, you're a cute little thing and you are the,
the apple of your parents' eyes. You can on occasion get away with things like that that the grown people could not, right? Other people can't come into my house and just fling their socks anywhere. I frown on that, to be quite honest. But my son does tend to get away with it. So I will be interested to see, as I may, in the next couple of days, apply these nylon sock-ons over top. They go over top the sock. And I think they make it impossible for the little one to get his socks off. There could be no greater test than my frequently de-socked son. So we will put sock-ons to the test against the champion of de-socking, my 2.5-year-old son, Elliot. Results of that throwdown, I'll bring you the lowdown on it next week on Daddy on Board. Next week's, by the way, will probably be titled 74. As a little sneak preview of next week, 74. Oh, yeah. Parched. So, I'm going to tell you about two mobile apps. One of which I've played with, one of which I haven't. Full disclosure. Sam, I'm not real sure how to say your last name, so I'm not going to try, because it's embarrassing when people say your name wrong. So says Mike Quackentush. Sam told us about an this is available in iTunes, I should say. And it's specifically for the iPad, is this one. Also, by the way, if you're going to pick this one up, it's called 123D Sculpt. It's made by the fine folks over at Autodesk, Inc. And it's got exceptionally good reviews over in the iTunes store if you want to zip over there and check it out. Once again, that's 123D Sculpt. There's no, like, hyphen in there, too, if that's what you're thinking. And it's a sculpting. It's a sculpting app. It looks really cool. And the app seemed, or I mean the not the apps, but the reviews seem to indicate that this app is really cool. The only complaint I saw anywhere was that people really wanted to be able to, like, save and share, or otherwise, like, export the things that they make inside of this app. It is specifically built for iPad, if I didn't mention that. And it's compatible with, depending what operating system you're running, you need to have iOS 4.3 or later. It does work with 5.0. So if you need to know that, there's an update out for 123D Sculpt to make sure that it works with iOS 5. But it's a sculpting app, and it looks like it would be a lot of fun. But I want you to know, I myself have not played with it. You might be interested to know, this thing, which I'm sure they could probably get a couple bucks for a limited time, is free. So if you're thinking about, hey, I might want to play with that, right? And you don't mind. See, I like to keep my screen very organized. And I don't like when there's lots of those little app icons all over it. So I like to go through and I delete lots of the apps as soon as I don't need them anymore. Like, I got rid of settings, for example. I don't really need that. But if you're into collecting free apps, 123D Sculpt, for a limited time, is free if you want to drop by the iTunes store and check that out from the fine folks at Autodesk, Inc. Thank you for sending that in, loyal dub bobber Sam, whose last name I will not pronounce. Also, and this is one now that I have on my iPad, this is called WebMD Baby. I do want to tell you, though, about this. You do need to have an account with WebMD to be able to access all the information inside the app. Don't worry if you don't. When you get the app, it'll prompt you. You can sign up, and the account's free. You're not out of pocket. And the app is free, too. There's a couple WebMD apps, but this one, the one I'm specifically speaking about here, is WebMD Baby. It was recently reviewed for Consumer Reports by someone named Natalie Morris, who you may or may not be familiar with. Mommy Beta. This basically, part of what resonates with me about this is because Natalie alludes to the fact that this is a good replacement for a book used in this very household, the household where I reside in the basement all the time, called Baby 411. Which is, like, if you don't know what that is, it's like a cataloging of all the medical maladies and other horrible things that can beset a child and all the symptoms so that you can try and... And you know they're all the same, right? If you haven't gone through that, right? Like, could this be fifth disease? Or is this HIV? What is it? You know, all the symptoms are so similar. It can be very difficult to distinguish between them. And by the way, I think for most of them, the only thing you really need to do is put a pirate eye patch on your child. I think that's the accepted remedy. If you're looking, however, for perhaps some more medically informed advice on these things, let me recommend to you the free app WebMD Baby, which is a medical reference app. And it has a lot of other stuff built into it, too, by the way. You can set up reminders for wellness visits. You can you can chart and record all kinds of things, especially like in right when you bring your baby home and perhaps some overly tired new parents are losing track of things. There's all kinds of important ways that you can chart everything that's going on with your newborn so that when you do go in for those frequent doctor visits and they ask you things like, is your child going to the bathroom regularly? You'll have a chart that proves it. It's irrefutable. It also comes loaded with all kinds of parenting tips. It's got information for moms and dads, and special information, too, as it pertains to emergencies and when it's time to panic and call 911. So a wealth of information is contained in the free WebMD Baby app. You can go get that there. I know it's for Apple iOS devices. I'm not sure if it's on Android or Super Robot or some of the other things that are out there. You know, black market electronic goods is what I'm referring to there, if you're curious. Now the drink's almost cold. I've almost waited too long. I've spoiled it for myself. You know, there was something I wanted to tell you about here, and it's slipping my mind. Oh, I think we've already covered it. If not, here it is real quick. It's a little pricey, I'll tell you that. It's more than I would have normally spent for an app, but it is an outstanding app. Is the Thomas the Train, Thomas the Tank Engine, Thomas and Friends. You know, there's all those spin-off series, and then there's the one with Mr. Roper. There's a Misty Island app for Thomas, which is out there, and it's like $4.99. It's got a lot of stuff in it, like pages that you can finger color on the screen, you know. It's got puzzles that you put back together, and it's got an animated story. It comes like a music video. It's a really well-done app. The animation is gorgeous, and you will get a little tired of it after a while, parents. I'm just warning you, and your child won't. Your child will play with it and play with it and play with it over and over and over and over and over again. Be on the lookout for that. But if you've got a little one who likes trains, or you know they know Thomas from PBS or wherever else they air those things nowadays, it's worth checking out. Just be mindful of the fact, as I said, I'm pretty sure it goes for $4.99, does that Thomas app. A little on the pricey side. Last but not least here on the program, I'm going to tell you about Little Victories. There's a sound effect that comes in there, Jim. Little Victories, I said. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? Before I read these off, these, of course, are the little parenting victories. And I'll cap it off with a little defeat today, just for variety. They're sent in by you to me. That's how it works. If I don't get them, I can't read them, you see. It would be helpful. You can visit our Facebook page. You can drop by our Twitter account, which is The Daddy On Board. Send them to us that way, won't you please? That makes it easier when you send them to us. We can't come to you, okay? I can't be outside everyone's window all the time waiting for something awesome to happen. Before I tell you about them, I do want to tell you about our last show sponsor today. They are the folks over at Cobra.com. Makers of the Cobra Tag System, which is a two-way locator system that works between a key fob that you attach to your keychain, and then pairs through a free app with your smartphone. So if you were ever to misplace your smartphone, you could use the key fob to call your phone and find it, and vice versa. It helps you locate when you misplaced your keys, but you still have your phone. This ingenious little device, which is a great gift any time of the year, the Cobra Tag System, is waiting for you to discover and to confound G.I. Joe at Cobra.com. They, of course, are also the makers of the Cobra iRadar system, which is something I use every time I'm road tripping, and I'll tell you why. Because when I'm driving late at night and I'm sleepy and I'm tweeting from my iPad, which is held firmly to my leg beneath the ability of the police to notice by a leg strap, sometimes I get a little drifty, I'm heading off, but not when I have the Cobra iRadar system, because it makes me a safer and more alert driver. And I just turn it up loud, so it makes these really loud announcements awkwardly every 30 seconds in the car about everything going on around me. It's powered by a revolutionary database called the Aura Driving Hazard Database, which gets verified and re-verified twice a day to give you the most up-to-date driving information out there. If you're being clocked for speed, if you're passing through an intersection where they have a red light camera, every bit of information you could ever want to know is available to you through the Cobra iRadar system. And if you don't want all the information, that's great. You can use your smartphone. It comes with a free app and pairs through Bluetooth technology. You go right into the dashboard and you tell it exactly what you want to know. It's completely customizable, so you get the exact driving experience you want. That's why these guys win all the awards. That's why these guys have been an industry leader for so many years. And they make tons of other stuff, too, by the way. Check out the full line of great products from our friends over at Cobra.com. You know where you'll find them? Cobra.com. And without further ado, as my mocha goes stone cold, it's time for Little Victories. Post-production sound effect. So this came into us via our Twitter stream. Thanks for sending these to us. G-Hop2 writes to us at the Daddy on Board. My 7-month-old is using a sippy cup and now holding his own bottle. Thanks for using the hashtag Little Victories. That makes these easy to find if you hadn't at mentioned us. Also, DBirch48 writes to us, making it to baby's first birthday with baby intact. Little victory, to be certain. To be certain. It's the second year's the real trick. We're trying to keep all those fingers attached. I'm just warning you. Over on our Facebook fan page, some people checked in on the Daddy on Board page. That's where we are. Including Raul Cologne. Are you angry about us plagiarizing some of your content, Raul? I know that you're from Belgium, Raul. He wrote to us. He was able to spend more time than usual with his daughter today before she went to bed. I see how this ties into your blog, Raul. Thanks for sending in your little victory. Marianne Cannell wrote to us. 12-month-old granddaughter said please tonight when she wanted a Cheeto. The ever-loving orange cheese puff, I assume is what you meant by Cheeto. Danny McDermott writes to us, little victory, right now I feel no victory, only defeat. Well, then this is a little defeat, is it not, Danny? See, I told you I'd be bringing you one of those. You've been defeated. Thumbs down. Sorry, Danny. Gary Kellogg, insert joke here, sends to us this little victory. He learned what his nonverbal, meaning it does not know how to communicate as you or I do, special needs son means by his ow noise. Means I'm afraid of whatever situation I am in now. And that is a little victory to overcome a communication hurdle like that. So congratulations, Gary, on your little victory. Last but not least, Danette, perhaps of a Scandinavian last name that I would butcher if I said it aloud, writes, I was sewing when my 3-year-old asked what I was doing. I told her, and 5 minutes later, she asked if I got it done. When I told her yes, she said, good job, Mommy. She really is listening. Thanks for sending in your little victories, Danette, Gary, Danny, Marianne, Raul, and DBirch48 and GHOP2. I assume those to be your real legal names. Go and visit our sponsors, would you please? I mentioned them many times. Hey, come see me. You know I'm a professional wrestler. I'm going to be everywhere. You can find out where at chikarapro.com. You can get live event tickets, all kinds of other junk. Find out what I'm up to over there. Follow me on Twitter. I'm Mike Quackenbush. This program is The Daddy on Board. And once again, the catch-all for everything Grizzly is grizzlyproductions.tv. I'll be back next week with more parenting goodness for you on a program likely to be titled Daddy on Board 74. That's going to do it. Bye now.